Ray Fittipaldo joining us now. Steelers Insider brought to you by Western PA Injury Attorneys of LGKG, built on relationships, credibility, and integrity. LGKG.com. Russell Wilson said he felt great, acknowledged that he took part in some 11-on-11 drills today. Ray, if you had to bet, will he be elevated to Steelers backup quarterback Sunday night?
Yeah, I mean, Tony, that's the feeling I'm getting right now. I think all along there were going to be incremental steps in this process, and I think this is one more box to check off. Russell did say that he's doing more than he has since he aggravated that injury, so, you know, that's good for Russell. But, you know, honestly, the way Justin's playing right now, it's going to take a bad performance by him for us to get on the field. So, you know, we're getting closer probably to a point where Mike might have to be a little bit more definitive in who his starter is going forward. But even Russ said today that he's not completely cleared yet. So, you know, that's probably a hurdle we don't have to clear until next week at the earliest.
Maybe starting then with next week's game, or I guess technically with this week's game, do you think Justin Fields is week in and week out kind of playing to keep the starting job, Ray?
Yeah, I mean, I know what you're saying, but that's a heck of a way to put it, because he hasn't really had a bad game yet, right? I mean, he's kind of steadily improved, you know, in each of the 4 weeks here. So I don't get the sense that one bad game, you know, would be the reason for the Steelers to make a change. Maybe if it's really bad and, you know, they have to get Russell in there just to change the momentum in the game, you know, I could see that happening. But, you know, you guys heard what Arthur Smith said today about him. I mean, that was the highest praise I've heard of Fields since he arrived, you know, back in March. So he's obviously playing really well, played excellent in that second half. Now the next step for Justin is play excellent for a full 60 minutes, get that offense going early. So you get a lead and you're not playing catch-up the way they were against the Colts.
Ray, do you expect them to actually be less predictable to that end early in games? I think they are running the ball more frequently on first down than all but two teams in the NFL, while having less first down running success rate than everybody but the Cowboys. Like, it seems to me that the slow starts are at least somewhat, if not a lot, connected to the way they're calling these games early.
Yeah, and they're running into a lot of run blitzes the last couple of weeks. I know the Broncos did it. Chargers definitely did it, and we saw the Colts mimic that game plan. So, you know, it's obviously something that the teams are scouting here. I thought it was interesting when Justin Fields was asked today if, you know, what kind of freedom does he have at the line of scrimmage to change running plays, and he said, no, if we call a running play, you know, we're going to call a running play. You know, it might not be the same running play, but he doesn't really have the freedom to audible to a pass. So maybe that's the reason they're getting stuck in some of, you know, these second and 12, second and 13 situations. You know, probably be a good idea for Arthur to change it up and maybe break his tendencies. But he's a guy who wants to be physical, wants to establish the run first, and then get the passing game going off of that. So we'll see if it changes this week, but I do have my doubts.
But how much of that, you say change Arthur Smith might change his tendencies. How much do you think that the let's run the ball early is just Mike Tomlin working through Arthur Smith?
Oh, that's part of it too. But, you know, Arthur isn't laying the blame at Mike's feet. He said today, you know, people were questioning him about the slow starts, and he basically said, listen, you know, we're not going out there and trying to do that. It's not that they're not wanting Justin to give him more freedom, excuse me, earlier in games. They just want to extend more drives. And then what he said, that'll give him more opportunities to make passes, make bigger plays, you know, later in, you know, in the first and the second quarter. So when you have three and out early on in the first and second quarter, it's tough to get that momentum going. And I think that's what they're searching for right now.
Ray, I heard Arthur Smith on Najee Harris. I think he's been pretty good in this Q&A that you guys do with him every Thursday so far. He was asked about why there was success with Patterson and really not with Najee, and he didn't talk for a minute and really didn't give an answer. What do you think's going on there? They really have no choice but to play Najee because of their injuries for Sunday's game. But why can't he look like an effective runner in this offense?
Yeah, I mean, to me, Pony, it seemed like it was more of a defensive Najee in the you know, just kind of wanting him to still have that confidence. I mean, you guys see it. I mean, everyone sees it. Cordero hits that hole harder, and he hits it with more decisiveness than Najee does. And I'm not saying the offensive line isn't a problem early in games, because it is. I just mentioned the run blitzes. And, you know, those young guys have taken a few series to, you know, to until they get to the point where they're playing a little bit better. So, you know, the timing worked out where Cordero came in and he was hot, and it was noticeable. But, you know, the thing about Najee, guys, I never have an issue with his effort. He's always available. He's always playing hard. I just question sometimes his vision, you know, his ability to make something out of nothing. It just seems like when it's a play that's doomed, it's almost like, okay, he's going to lose a couple yards or he's going to get no gain. So, you know, when Jaylen Warren's in there, I don't get that feeling. He could turn something or nothing into something. So, you know, I don't have an issue with Najee and his effort. It's just that, you know, he's a good running back, but he's obviously, in their eyes, not a number one. You know, let's face it, that's why they didn't pick up the option, and that's why when Jaylen Warren's healthy that they want to split the carries there.
Do you think there's any real chance that Harris, you know, absent like a ridiculous sudden turn up to his performance where he's running for 1,700 yards, which is not going to happen, do you really see any scenario by which he re-signs with them or signs some sort of new deal with them, or do you think he's playing his last year in Pittsburgh right now?
I mean, it's hard to say because we don't know about Warren's health. I mean, this is the first time that Jaylen has been nicked up for an extended period, so you would think this is a one-off and, you know, he's going to get healthy. If Jaylen Warren's healthy, I think they would be happy to roll with Jaylen next year. You still have Cordero Patterson playing his role, and then I think you go out and get another guy in the late rounds or in undrafted free agency to be Jaylen Warren's backup. I think that's probably the route they're going to go. But listen, if this injury situation continues with Jaylen and they don't have a lot of confidence in him going forward, then maybe they could turn back to Najee after the season's over. But I just think they have so much confidence in Jaylen when he's healthy. I think they kind of want to see what it looks like with him as the feature back next year when he's the guy.
Ray, will Davante Adams get traded to the Steelers?
Listen, it's a possibility, guys. Omar is going to, you know, make those phone calls and take those phone calls. He's never going to not do his due diligence. But I think you guys know the Jets are probably more of an option for Adams. The Saints, because he played with Derek Carr as well. So Davante probably wants to go to a quarterback situation that's, you know, known to him. But listen, if the Steelers make a great offer and they knock off, they knock the Raiders' socks off with a package, then, you know, I could see it happening. But as of right now, I think the Jets and the Saints are probably the front runners.
What do you think is the most they're willing to give up for him?
Now, it depends on if they view him as a rental and they're going to cut him after the season and eat that cap money, you know, fourth-round pick, maybe a third-round pick. But if they want to acquire him and then redo his deal, and let's say they bring him back, instead of for $35 million on the final 2 years, let's say they bring him back at $23 million a year, okay, for his age 33 and 34 seasons, which wouldn't be, you know, crazy. Then maybe you give up a two. I could see them giving up a two and then maybe like a fourth or a fifth the next year if that happens. But, you know, they would have to be really comfortable with being able to re-sign him and agreeing to that deal, guys, before that happens.
Ray, how likely do you think it is, period, that they will go out and acquire a number two wide receiver at some point between now and the trade deadline?
I mean, right now it seems like they're – I don't want to say they have to. You know, the wild card is Roman Wilson. I don't – see, guys, I don't view him as a number two, especially as a rookie, but if you just add him into the mix, maybe he does give you a little bit more – at some point, maybe that lessens the need to go out there and make that splash. But as they're constituted right now, you know, Van Jefferson getting like two catches a game for 20 yards and Calvin Austin one catch for 15 yards. I mean, they obviously need more from that position. So, you know, Omar has proven over the years that if he can't pull something off, he will. So I'll just tell fans to stay tuned here. I think, you know, if things stay the way they are over the next month or so, I think it's, you know, it's a possibility he can go out there and do something.
Right. Anything else here that we've missed that you think we should know about?
Larry Ogunjobi left practice early with a groin. He's been good, guys, and he's been available. So that would be certainly, you know, a minus for them going into that game. Hopefully he's okay. But that's one thing that happened to practice today that was a negative.
Ray Fittipaldo, Post-Gazette, Steelers insider. Thank you, Ray.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.